Charlotte Soccer Show, John Hayes. Danny Brams isn't here. Matt Geslin is here for the Independence season preview show. Matt Geslin, he's the host of the Full Time Roundup podcast, covering every bit of European soccer you'll ever need to know. Cheers to you. And the reason why we have you on the show today, by the way, and the reason why Matt Geslin is here with us today is because he's an Independence expert. He's somebody that did photography for the squad last season, spent a lot of time on the sidelines, really got to know the club. So I thought that you'd be the perfect person today to hang out with us and talk about this club and look forward to the 2024 campaign.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Of course, we miss DB. He's up in Nashville right now, and he'll be at the away game on Saturday for the FC, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to report back to on that. But yeah, excited to be here. Independence, of course, start on Saturday, so excited to kind of get their season kicked off. And thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So one thing that we're going to do today is we're going to not necessarily predict what happens this season. It's really hard to do that in USL League One. But I think what we can do is give you some perspective about where the team is right now. It's a team that played in the final last year.
Heartbreaking loss, by the way.
The first final in club history, yeah. In its ninth year. Excited to celebrate the 10th year in club history. And I, for what it's worth, think that, and this has been proven out in other sports as well, Matt, is that when you go to the final and you lose, it's really hard to get back, right? So I just want to start there with you, right? It's like you cover this team. You were so close to them last year on their journey to the final that ended in heartbreak. What's it been like this offseason? How has the club picked up the pieces? And what's your vibe going into this 2024 campaign? Can they get back?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a challenge, like you said, especially at the USL level. There's a lot of players that come in, come out, you know, roster rotation. And so a lot of key pieces have gone in the offseason. And so it's going to be challenging for Mike Jeffries to kind of get the squad. A lot of remaining pieces still, but some key pieces that did leave at very important positions.
Well, let's talk about them right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at, you know, right out of the gate, one of your big, strong center backs and Hector Acosta, who did not get retained, still looking for a club at the moment. You're also looking at a player like A.O. Flanagan on the left-hand side in the back line. So
yeah, he was, for what it's worth, A.O. was my favorite player on this
one season. Of my favorites as well. And you guys had a chance to talk with Coach Jeffries and a couple of defensive players in the media day the other day, and just, you know, how strong they were in the back, especially with a goalkeeper like Austin Pack, who had 10 clean sheets last season. And it's going to be a challenge to kind of keep that and maintain that presence back there. So, again, it when you're looking at a roster that had such turnover, other key pieces like Dane Kelly and Corey Bennett up front that are gone, you know, a player that may be a little bit more under the radar and Brad Dunwell, you know, that center defensive midfielder role. You're looking at a whole new set of guys coming in, a lot of youngsters that are going to be part of this roster going forward. So will they be able to maintain that going forward and repeat, you know, where they left off? It's going to be really challenging for the squad.
So there's definitely work for Mike Jeffries to do to fill out this squad and add new pieces. But you talked about people leaving. I also think that there's interesting stories about people coming back. Right, we can talk about Captain Clay Dimmick. He's been somebody that has certainly been through it as far as having a spinal cord injury. And the injury that he's returning from, believe it or not, is he's the first person ever in professional sports to return from an injury like that. So as far as Clay being back as the captain, what can I expect from him on the pitch? I'm not necessarily sure, right? But it's nice to have his leadership back along with Mike Jeffries. Austin Pack, you mentioned as well, his leadership will be back as well. And Nick Spielman, too. Nick Spielman is somebody that came in. It's going to be his second year with the club. So while there is some losses on that back line, I do think there's people returning. Omar Cease is somebody that's returning as well. And Danny Brams, to his credit, asked Mike Jeffries at Media Days. He said something like, you know, you've got a lot of guys who are coming back. How do you keep things fresh? And I think Coach Jeffries really appreciated that question because he's trying to answer that question himself.
Yeah, and you mentioned Clay coming back, of course, almost like an addition to the roster, right? Because he was out for a huge extended period of time in the second half of the season. And, you know, they still made that run even without their leader. Of course, Miguel Ibarra did a fantastic job leading the squad as captain on the field. And Clay was around the the roster, around the team week in, week out. So not like he wasn't present, just his presence on the field was missed. And you see that even in some of the exhibition games that they've had so far. Just he's back to fitness and his touch and the way he's kind of commands the roster and the lineup, and the way that, you know, the players gravitate towards him is that, you know, even in training you can see how excited they are. He's got a smile on his face every time. I think part of that is just, like you said, just the fact that he is coming back from such a unique and serious injury, and really appreciates the fact that he can get on the field week in, week out, or daily, for that matter, and just kind of enjoy life a little bit more. And that's kind of what the beauty of this. They're professionals. They want to make it for a living. They want to kind of take that step to the next level for some of these young guys. But at the end of the day, they just enjoy the fact that they get to play soccer or football for a living week in, week out here in the Queen City.
I wanted to dive into things like this early on the show because there might be some casuals listening to our show, some Charlotte FC supporters who don't necessarily know how great of a soccer city that Charlotte is. And the Charlotte Independents is a club that we know very, very well. So if you don't know who we're talking about, if you don't know who any of these players are, I would encourage you to go to the match on Saturday night. The first match of the season is this Saturday against One Knoxville here at American Memorial Stadium. And for me, American Legion Memorial Stadium, and for me, this is classically, the Charlotte Independents is one of those clubs where you need to show up, right? Matt and I could sit here with you and we could talk about all the names. We could talk about USL League One, but you're not really going to get it unless you show up to one of these matches and you can start appreciating what these players do, right? So you had the opportunity to do that all last season. And what's it like when you go to an Independents match? What's the vibe there, right? And I think a lot of people would say, hey, it's minor league soccer. But there's a lot of quality players, and this is a quality league, USL League One.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned the quality. You still have players, Gabriel Obertan, who played in the Premier League for Newcastle and Manchester United, previously.
That's pretty good.
That's not too bad, I would say. Most people would recognize those names, right?
Yes.
Even historically speaking, you've had players like Christian Fuchs, who played for the team prior to FC starting. So
Brant Bronico,
other players. You can name countless players that are either in MLS or played at the highest level. And so it's still professional soccer at the end of the day, and these guys are still producing quality football on the pitch. And so you mentioned kind of what is the difference and what's the vibe. Like, it's just a really fun family environment and atmosphere in the crowd. And, Memorial Stadium, American Legion Memorial Stadium, sorry to give it its full name, one of the best venues in Charlotte. You get a skyline view anywhere you sit in the arena. And again, you're watching professional soccer and you have a chance to enjoy it and have a little bit more fun with it. And you see that on the pitch too. The guys have a lot more fun, and yes, it's professional. They're taking it seriously. They get paid to do this. It's not like they're just out there on a Tuesday night game co-ed like we play.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit more laid back than a Saturday night at the Keep, for example.
I'm gonna whisper this, and it's for anybody who has kids or is looking for something to do on weekends that doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. The Independence match is a really good place to bring your kids and not spend a top dollar if you love soccer and you want to enjoy a weeknight out. And that's where you can talk about the global calendar, right? But for a USL League One squad, the fact that you can play in the spring, in the summertime, in the fall, that's ideal.
Yeah, and you mentioned, a great environment for the kids. Of course, Ashley Osecki and the team are doing some great stuff this year for what the environment will be like. So check that out. Bring the kids. Of course, that's really kind of the audience that they're looking to attract, and they'll have some really fun stuff for all ages, of course. There's Blue Furios out there usually with the drummers, and I've seen Danny Brams out there drumming before, so you can get everything from that level of enjoyment all the way down to more excitement for your kids too. So
yeah, it's one of those organic soccer matches professionally that you could go to and enjoy in a way where you don't feel like you're in David Tepper's palace. Not that that's the worst thing in the world.
And by the way, they're pretty good at home, just for what it's worth. They do win a lot at home. So 10 wins last season at home. So you're going to see, for the most part, I don't want to jinx them this year. If some of you know me, if I say something, the opposite usually tends to happen, so apologies. But they had a pretty good record last year at home. Of the 13 wins they had, 10 of them were at home. So you're going to see high quality, play at home.
And not only are you going to get high quality play, but I think one thing that you're going to get is you're going to get a pre-match experience that is absolutely fantastic. We're sitting here now on the patio at Elizabeth Parlor Room. We're back. We're back at Elizabeth Parlor Room because I thought it was appropriate to come to Elizabeth Parlor Room, speak with Matt Morena, the bearded bartender here, catch up with him. Obviously, if you're a TIFOS, if you're a tremendous friend of the show, you've been to Elizabeth Parlor Room. And even though we've been spending a lot of time at Hot Fly, of course, our friends at Hot Fly are presenting this episode. We're happy to be here at Elizabeth Parlor Room because Elizabeth Parlor Room is just a few blocks away from the stadium.
I think I can see it, actually, if I lean far enough over.
So you've got a home base beforehand. You can come here. You can get a couple pints. You can walk down to the stadium. You can enjoy the match. And then afterwards, you can walk back to Elizabeth Parlor Room and have another couple pints if you'd like. And by the way, the Independents sell great local beer in the stadium as well. So for my money, for what it's worth, the match day experience that Charlotte Independents offers is second to none in this city, right? Because Charlotte FC is going to have 30, 40,000 people there. It's going to be busy. But on an Independence match day, you can really feel like you're part of this Elizabeth community where we're sitting right now.
Absolutely. And that's one of the beautiful things about, I don't want to don it as local sports, but more regional and a little bit, like you said, let's call it neighborhood sports. And the tailgate even beforehand in the parking lot is fantastic. Of course, shout out to the Mech Reserve Ultras and what they do. Again, you can either join them here at Elizabeth Parlor Room or even in the parking lot. And then, of course, after the match here as well. So
I've been to the parking lot with, I almost called him Mike Mecklenburger, but I think that's his Twitter handle, Mike Umberger, who's a guest on the show. He's the head of the Mech Reserves at a great supporters group that supports Charlotte Independents. We've had him on the show, and the party that the Mech Reserves throw, along with the Blue Furia. Let's not forget. Shout out to the Blue Furia, because the Blue Furia, the reason why I respect them so much is because they show up big for Independence games. There's a grill with so much meat on it at that tailgate where you can show up and eat dinner for free if you'd like, and they're happy to serve you that meat as well. So it's just the vibes are so good, and the community is great, because that's something we've always tried to build on Charlotte Soccer Show. Is, hey, how do we find people in the community that really love soccer? People that want to get together, that want to have conversations about, it doesn't matter if it's Champions League, which, by the way, we just watched here at Elizabeth Parlor Room. It doesn't matter if it's a Premier League game as well. It could be USL League One. It's people that enjoy the sport and love to be around people that enjoy the sport as well. That's what the Charlotte Independents experience really is.
Yeah, and shout out to the Blue Fury as well. And it's a great example of yes, there's a big MLS professional team in town, but you can be a fan of both, right? You don't have to be a fan of one or the other, and they support both, and they also support, you know, Crown Legacy. They support all the soccer that we have in this community, and you and Danny do such a good job of promoting that as well. And so, you know, I would love to challenge the TIFOs and anyone else listening to not only give FC a chance, but give Independence a shot as well, because again, you'll see the schedule. They have done a nice job of kind of offsetting games where they're not competing with each other. Of course, they may have some Saturday games overlapping, but there'll be some Thursday games, there'll be some Friday games, some early Saturday games when FC's playing at night. So come on down to American Legion and support just the soccer community that is Charlotte, because it's great soccer either way.
I'm glad that you mentioned those Thursday, the one Thursday night game and the 44 Friday night games, is because those are the games we've circled for Charlotte Soccer Show live coverage. We'll be there. You've seen our pregame shows at Hot Fly for Charlotte FC matches. You've seen us kind of get into that space and just try to figure out, how do we serve the soccer community? MLS season pass does such a shitty job of having team-specific pregame coverage. You're barely going to hear Charlotte FC mentioned on pregame coverage on Apple. So, hey, let's do it ourselves. And when it comes to the Charlotte Independents, you know there's no pregame coverage for USL League One. So let's do it ourselves. And so we've identified the Thursday night match and the four Friday night matches as these moments. I'm calling it Friday Night Football. We're doing Friday Night Football in the Queen City this summer, which I am unbelievably excited about.
Love it.
I mean, you think about, for me specifically, a Premier League weekend, right? The Premier League weekend always kicks off with Friday Night Football. It was a brilliant move by the Charlotte Independents to change their schedule and try to find some Friday nights and even a Thursday night to have the solo stage for themselves.
Yeah, and it's just, again, another testament to the community that is and what Charlotte soccer is about. There's a game almost every night or every day. You know, even this Sunday, of course, not to take away, but Crown Legacy's playing on Sunday as well. So, you know, wherever you're looking, whatever you're trying to achieve, and if you just love the sport as much as we do, you can always find a game in town over the course of the weekend. And now, you know, the beautiful weather that is Charlotte, spring here in March, and it's just going to get better and better, and you'll be able to watch and enjoy outdoors as much as you can.
Everybody is pulling in the same direction, right, as far as Charlotte Soccer Show, right? We want to say, hey, we want the Independents to have success. You want Crown Legacy to have success. We even maybe want Carolina Core to have success. I don't know. You could go to our YouTube page and see our Carolina Core season preview. It was a fantastic conversation with Eddie Pope, United States men's national team legend, great defender for the national team, and also Roy Lassiter, who held the MLS record for goals in a season for a very long time as well. Those two are part of the project up in High Point for the Carolina Core that is in MLS Next Pro, right? And I bring this up just because, from my point of view, sure. From a supporter's point of view, sure. You want all these clubs to succeed. But, and I promise you this, if you give truth serum to a lot of executives in all these different clubs, specifically when it comes to the Independents and Crown Legacy, there's some serious competition happening. And you can look to the U.S. Open Cup, and you can look to MLS not willing to play ball. I think that if I were to kind of raise my hand and say, what's the most disappointing moment in Charlotte soccer history, I would point to when Charlotte FC and Charlotte Independents had a chance to actually play for the U.S. Open Cup. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen this season.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. It's something that we've talked about off air before. It's just, you know, like you said, it's still a business at the end of the day, which is unfortunate. Of course, the fans, like you said, we're trying to get everyone involved as much as we can, and yet internally going on behind the scenes, there's still a competition and trying to be that name.
You got to call it spade a spade.
Exactly. You got to call it and what it is. But yeah, ideally you'd love to see, and even we've talked about before, you know, more publicly, you know, a potential inner city tournament or competition of some kind with all the teams that are going on.
Since you brought it up, I'll just say that my idea is, based on the FA, the Football Association in England, they play the Community Shield every season, which is the Premier League champion versus the FA Cup champion.
Yes.
And I find that to be one of the more interesting matches of the season. It's a preseason game. It's the Community Shield because most of the money that is made from that game goes directly to charity. And we need to come up with something here in Charlotte called the Queen City Cup, right? Where you've got the Charlotte Independents, you've got Crown Legacy. We could even broaden it out to the Carolinas Cup at this point, right? Because you've got Carolina Core, you've got the Greenville Triumph, you've got Charleston Battery.
NCFC
as well. Yeah. So we've got to figure out a way to, yes, all of these independent clubs are competing with each other. Well, maybe Carolina Core and Crown Legacy are eating from the same trough, if you will. But other than that, most clubs are operating independently. So let's find a way to get all these clubs together. So heading into this year, it's obviously not going to happen. So that's something I've been thinking about a lot.
It just makes sense to me. And again, it's disappointing that it hasn't happened yet. But, you know, even if we could get an opportunity where all the clubs coalesce and come up with a fun, you know, Charlotte soccer day where you have, you know, Legacy play in the morning, Independents middle of the day, FC at night, or whatever the order, but all three teams playing together, and you can march from, well, maybe you don't march from Matthews, but you can march from American Legion to, you know, to the Keep and just have a really nice kind of collaborative. And again, they are competing, but at the same time, they're not. They're not in the same league. They're not in the same level. You know, you can make it be a little bit more collective and for the fans, and I think that's an opportunity there as well.
I agree with you, for what it's worth, that I don't think that I'm going to call them out by name specifically. Joe LeBoux, the Charlotte FC president, Darius Barnes, the Crown Legacy president. I don't think either of those people, who, by the way, I really enjoy, and we've had them on the show, and we're going to have Darius on the show this Sunday before the Crown Legacy match. Always enjoy those conversations. I don't think there's any ill will. Personally, I think it comes from Don Garber. I think it comes from the MLS league office in New York. That's where you look at USL and USL League One. To me, it seems like Don Garber is trying to kill the league.
It feels like that, especially with some of the decisions that they've made. And you can talk about, you know, the pyramid scheme in Europe and parachute money and all that, you know, the logistics behind that. And I think, you know, you heard some of the discussion around, you know, where we are with promotion relegation and you know, Soccer Don, as some of us call him.
That's his Twitter handle.
Some of us were talking, he was talking about, you know, will that ever happen? And if that happens, it's a conversation that the league's in a good place for that. You know, so I think there is an opportunity. And, of course, part of some of the history, you know, just for context, of course, like you mentioned, Independence being 10 years old, you know, they were here before FC, and there was, you know, a lot of people hoping that they would get that automatic kind of recognition into MLS when it happened. And so it's just an opportunity for them to kind of continue to grow the sport. And yet here in the States, and you've seen it even with Champions League, for example, the last couple of days not being on, you know, local broadcasts or having to have a paywall to get to it. So it's a disappointing thing, and hopefully we can, as a country, you know, especially with how prevalent soccer is becoming throughout communities, whether that's a big city like Charlotte or Tulsa or, you know, Sacramento having a team, and that, you know, there's soccer is just everywhere, and you want to see it grow and you want to see it expand, and hopefully from the top down, right? You know, MLS is obviously the kingpin of that, and they need to kind of be the ones spearheading that, and hopefully that happens in time.
I don't think there's anything wrong with having a chip on your shoulder, and I think what this does is it maybe puts a chip on USL's shoulder, especially a team like the Charlotte Independents, who goes to a final. You could argue, and you could probably argue pretty successfully, that Charlotte Independents is the best club in town, because it's been around for 10 years, it just went to a final, things that Charlotte FC has never done before. So from that point of view, I'm willing to hear that argument. I'm willing to have that. I'm willing to sit down and talk about it. And yeah, you're talking about a club like Charlotte FC that just signs a player from Celtic, and clearly that's not happening here at the Charlotte Independents, but there's signings that are happening. There's a player, I forget his last name, Carlton.
Belmar he was originally from the Richmond Kickers last season, new forward that just got signed today. So exciting opportunity for him to join the squad too.
He's got 9 caps for Granada. He's somebody that plays at an international level. He's played in FIFA World Cup qualifying. You know, he's played for his nation, which is incredible. And he's somebody, when I think about quality sides in the Southeast region when it comes to USL, and that doesn't include like the Northern Colorado Hailstorm and Fuego. You know, there's a couple clubs out there on the West Coast that somehow, some way, Charlotte Independence gets out there and plays those matches, and they come here and play those matches too. I don't know how that money works, but that's somebody else's job. But specifically here in the Southeast, Richmond Kickers is a very, very good club, and to sign somebody like Carlton, to me, feels like a nice addition right before the season starts. You said he was a trialist for the team this
season? He was, yeah, and it's a huge need too as well. You know, forward, of course, Dane Kelly hasn't been retained as far as, you know, potentially he's still a free agent, so that could happen any moment before the season or any point at that. And, of course, losing
Corey. I think he's holding out for some more cash.
Potentially. Losing Corey Bennett as well, you know, congrats to him going to Las Vegas Lights FC and players like that. You know, again, we talked about AO and you know, just continuing to progress in what they're doing. And so, yeah, position up front is going to be a huge lot, you know, huge need. You know, Tresor Mbuye will be back and was a huge contributor up front. But when you lose 35% of your goal contributions from Dane Kelly and Corey Bennett, a lot of pressure now on Charlton to come in and kind of step in and fill that void. So it's a you mentioned earlier in the show kind of some of those things that Coach Jeffries is going to have to figure out. That's going to be one of those, is how do we replace some of those key pieces that they've lost?
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think now it's time for us to do kind of like a Coach Jeffries appreciation segment. You know, I've specifically tailored this episode towards people that might not really be that familiar with Charlotte Independence. And for those of you that are, obviously, we'll see you at the matches, and we can have a more in-depth conversation about the club and the players and those things like that. But let's just focus on the manager, because the manager is somebody that has been here for the entire existence of the club, which is pretty impressive. He's somebody that, when you think about a Gabby Obertan, who you mentioned, former Premier League player, when you think about Austin Pack, one of the best keepers in USL, not just USL League One, USL Championship as well. I think Austin Pack is that. Just a very good shot-stopping keeper. And we've been known to say on Charlotte Soccer Show that Austin Pack is the best keeper in Charlotte.
Might be the best keeper in Charlotte, yeah.
You know, he's unbelievably impressive. But the reason why, and every time we talk to these players, right, they say, well, we keep coming back. And we ask, well, why? And they say, because Mike Jeffries runs a great program.
You can feel it on the sideline. Even, you know, Mike is a little bit more, especially on game days, you know, kind of watches training. He sits, you know, in the kind of the substitute bubble and kind of watches from a distance. But you can feel the energy and just the way that he approaches games and how, especially if you're here more often with the squad and you know, a little bit more in training and things like that. It's just a fun environment. Everyone has a smile on their face, and he's the one that kind of sets that tone. And you mentioned he's been here since, you know, beginning of the squad, and there's a reason for that. And he loves this squad. He loves what this city represents. And I know you and Danny have talked to him extensively, and he radiates that, not just what you guys talk to him about, but even just on the pitch. And yes, he can be difficult, as any coach can be, and really, you know, wants and expects, you know, excellence from his players. But at the end of the day, he just loves what he does, and again, that comes across every time. And, you know, even when his wife is there after the game handing out, you know, cookies to the squad after the game. And again, it's just that family environment, and again, that comes from the top down, and he sets that expectation.
I mentioned that we're here at EPR in Elizabeth Parlor Room, right here on Elizabeth Avenue in Elizabeth. And this is a place, and this is the type of club where the players and the coaching staff will come back here after the match. They'll hang out with supporters. They'll rub shoulders with you. They'll talk to you. And that is something that I don't think anybody should take for granted in professional sports in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, the engagement that they have with their fans. You mentioned at the end of the FC games, yes, they'll applaud the supporters, but then they're into the locker room, and whether that's initiative by Mike or just the players themselves, you know, they'll go around the stadium and sign autographs and take pictures with fans, you know, and then they come back here a lot of the times, and so they're very involved, and they understand, they appreciate just the way that the fans appreciate them. And so again, it's a different, totally different environment than what you're going to get just down the street. And so if you're looking for something like that, it's, how can you not enjoy that? You get to be around and that close to professional athletes, and however you look at them, minor league, professional league, it still counts, and you get to be interacting with professionals at the highest level.
Yeah, it's special, and I think it's something that the city shouldn't take for granted. And I think there's a lot of people that have loved soccer for a long time in this city that feel that way about the Charlotte Independence.
It's a pretty rich history in Charlotte, as you guys have touched on, for sure.
There's a new kid on the block, and there's no doubt about that, and it's super fun. But it doesn't mean you should forget what has come before. So we're at that point in the show where this is where we reward the TIFOs, our tremendous friends of the show, the people that have been hanging out with us, that are listening to the Independence Preview. If we've kept you this long, that means you're interested in this conversation and what we're going to start getting into. I'm going to talk about some of these players, right? And I'm going to start with Omar Cisse. Because if I could circle one player that I'm super excited about coming back, I'm gonna circle Omar Cisse, and the reason why.
Omar only scores bangers, Cisse?
He scores bangers. He's great on top of a set piece, especially in the final third, especially a shooting opportunity. If Omar's on top of the ball, there's an idea, there's an opportunity for him to potentially score, which is great. But, I mean, he's a full 90 master. He's a central midfielder that will go up and down the pitch. This guy's engine never quits. And I think he's somebody that is going to be first on the team sheet every single week, and somebody that I cannot wait to watch play this entire season.
Yeah, he was a little banged up in the off season, so hopefully he's back to full strength. Obviously not familiar with where he's at in his training regiment, nor would we say that, of course, where he is with the game on Saturday. But
I didn't realize that he was dealing with a knock.
He was dealing with a little bit of a knock, but he seems to be back healthy. And, you know, you mentioned just how important he was to the squad last season, and he'll still continue to be that role and play the full 90, essentially, when he's healthy. And you're also looking at a player who had a little bit of a transition last year, and Luis Alvarez, who will be kind of another one that'll jump into that role.
I was going to ask you about him.
Yeah, he's such a talented young player, and again, a younger kid, kind of learning the language, and so, you know, he still has a little bit of learning to do, and it's certainly an adjustment. There's players like Joel Johnson who've kind of taken him under his wing, Miguel Ibarra, who we mentioned as well, kind of helping him kind of get settled here in the community. Of course, he was very close with Hector last season, and again, Hector being, you know, removed from the squad this season, but he still has those additional pieces that are helping him, and he's a super talented kid that I hope that you guys get the chance to see, and he'll be out there as a starter this year for sure.
It feels like to me that the Charlotte Independence midfield is pretty strong, especially if Clay's going to play and Omar Cease is going to be there as well. To me, that just feels like a really nice partnership in the midfield, because you can play defensive with both of those players. You could ask either one of those guys to go forward as well. My guess is that Clay will mostly play in a defensive midfield role this season.
Yeah, a little further back, maybe more, a little bit kind of in that right wing back position. He does come up a little bit more often than the traditional right back, but you're looking at, you know, between Joel and Omar and, you know, a couple other guys that kind of fill in, rotate in there. You're looking at a very strong midfield, I would say.
Because Ibarra plays midfield too, basically. He sits in that 10 role.
Yeah, he sits in more in the 10. And of course, you know, like I said earlier, the up front's a little bit kind of a helter-skelter role right now, although Tracer will be back. And so, again, Mike has a good problem to have. He's got to fill some holes, but a lot of the key pieces that were, you know, solidified positions last year are back, and that back line is going to be another strong area to focus on. And, you know, just incorporating some of those new pieces and how quickly they can gel, you know, that's going to be ultimately what drives this team. And you guys asked him the question, like you said, how do you kind of refresh it? I think when you have some new pieces, it's going to take a little bit of an adjustment, but that's also an opportunity for some of these guys to grow and learn and understand how their new teammates can bring something different to the table and evolve that way.
I think it's really interesting, and I want to make sure that, you know, fans understand this, is that what will end up happening is that somebody like Gabriel Obertan, a player that is super impactful for this club, he's not going to play 90 minutes every match. He's not going to be on the field every Saturday or every Thursday or every Friday night. You know, he's somebody that is specifically on this squad to help them reach the playoffs and to make noise in the playoffs when they get there, right? So I think at this level, there are certain things that are happening, right? Because at the Charlotte FC level, at the MLS level, if you have a designated player, your best players on the team, they have to play week in and week out. That's not necessarily the case with the Charlotte Independence, and that's not a bad thing either, because what it allows this club to do, and I think they're really, really smart with this, is that, hey, yes, this season opener against Knoxville, by the way, I think they're going to beat Knoxville on Saturday night. You mentioned it, they play so well at home, and I know this club right now is super interested in getting off to a hot start to the season, so I'm going to say that they win on Saturday night against Knoxville, get the campaign started off right. But when you're thinking about the entire 2024 campaign, this is where Mike Jeffries' experience comes in, is that something like Gabriel Obertan, you got to manage those minutes. You got to make sure that a player like that is healthy and feeling 100% at the right times. You're not going to run him into the ground. And that's where I think at this USL 1 level, there's like this really cool blend. And I think typically this works in most professional sports where you've got these experienced players who are the tail end of their career that can't play as much. And you've got these super young guys as well who are learning from those experienced players who are putting in the minutes, and Mike Jeffries is running into the ground, for lack of a better term, right? Where he's got to count on guys to play all those minutes that maybe the older guys can't.
Yeah, and I think you guys had a great interview with Gab at the end of the season too, just kind of his relationship with Mike. And again, goes back to just how Mike manages the squad and just being a little bit more open than maybe, you know, more of a traditional, you know, I don't think Gab could have had a type of relationship with a Dean Smith, for example, where he's telling them, hey, I can't go tonight, or give me 20 minutes here and there, and Mike is definitely more receptive to that, and yet you still see the quality that Gab has when he's on the pitch. And so, to your point, maybe he doesn't play every minute, he probably won't, but when there's an important game or he's feeling you know, he's feeling in form or he's feeling pretty good about something, he's going to go to Mike and say, hey, Mike, give me 35, 40 minutes. Give me a full 90. I'm ready to go. And you'll see that quality come in. And that's a great asset to have that most of the teams in USL 1 in particular don't necessarily have at their disposal. And so it's a great addition that Mike gets to use when he needs it. It's almost like a secret weapon, essentially.
It is, right? And a classy manager, an experienced manager, is somebody that can man manage. You're also managing tactics, you're dealing with the club, you're bringing on players, you're having conversations with kids, quite frankly, that are 17, and also with men who are almost 40. So it takes a special person to be able to deal with all those things. So, you know, for me personally, I am going into this season nervous. And the reason why is because of what I mentioned earlier. When you lose the final, it's really tough to come back quickly and get back to it. But I think that if I'm truly being unbiased about Charlotte Independence, and I believe this, is that they have the best chance in Charlotte to win a trophy. They do. And now that only 8 MLS teams are playing in the MLS Cup, or excuse me, in the U.S. Open Cup, yeah, sure, the odds are very, very much in those MLS teams' favor. But U.S. Open Cup, USL League One, two opportunities for this club to win a trophy this season, and why not dream about them actually bringing something back here to Elizabeth Parlor Room? Because I've got this grand idea that, you know, we shut down Elizabeth Avenue, we do a little mini parade, and we really celebrate a trophy here in town, and we cap it off with a party at Elizabeth Parlor Room. I'm dreaming about that in 2024.
It isn't out of the realm of possibility. Of course, NCFC moves up to championship or USL championship.
Who Charlotte Independence lost to
in the final. In the final, in a shootout, the most painful way to go.
Yes.
And they were, other than maybe Colorado North, Hailstorm, who knows what the actual full name of that is. They were the class. Those three teams were probably the class of USL 1, and so you eliminate one of those squads. And you know, again, just like you said, I mean, they were that close to bringing a championship trophy home. And so I think your sentiment is kind of where I'm at. They do need to improve their road record. You know, 3 wins on the road last season is not good enough.
Not even close to good enough.
But, you know, if they can do that, a little bit of that, they'll be in a good spot.
I want to say that in the regular season, Charlotte Independence finished in the 4th or 5th spot.
4th spot, yep.
So I think the goal still remains the same, get into the playoffs and win. But first place, second place also gives you home games in the playoffs as well, more home games in the playoffs. And the way USL League One works is if you do finish first in the league and you do play in the final, you're hosting.
You host it, and this city would be itching for a final to be here. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speak for everybody, but if they were to be able to host that game, you can only imagine the people that would come. And, you know, Memorial Stadium holds 10,000 people. That place would be packed. And that place should be packed regardless if it's a final or not. But that place would be absolutely buzzing for a championship. And we can only hope that they can get there. And I'm looking forward to it starting on Saturday, John.
Man, I'm talking about the parade down Elizabeth Avenue. I'm talking about the final here at American Legion Memorial Stadium.
Goosebumps.
And I'm starting to feel like the season is right in front of us, and I'm dreaming a little bit because I wish nothing but the best for the Independents. I'm a supporter at the end of the day. I cover the Independents in a way, but at the same time, I don't. So I just love showing up to the matches and just enjoying the games. And one of the best episodes in Charlotte Soccer Show history. We did an episode where we were in the press box and did an episode in the second half just kind of watching the game and talking about FC, talking about the Independents. And it turned into being one of my favorite episodes of all time. Right? So there's just so many great memories that you can make, and this club has an opportunity to make memories for a lot of people in this city.
Yeah, and they've been doing it for, again, we've stressed on it, you know, this will be the 10th season. And if you haven't really jumped on board yet, there's no time like the present to do it. And
yeah,
we welcome you with open arms. There's no one that's going to look at you and say, well, you're an FC fan. Even if you wear FC gear, you know, just come on down and support the squad. And, you know, what we're looking for and what the club's looking for is just for you to be there, be boisterous, supportive, which of course the city is for all soccer and just support the local team. And trust me, they will deliver for you. And they put out a show week in, week out, whether or not you're there or not. If you're there, you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah. And if you're not there, for what it's worth, USL has a deal with ESPN Plus. You can subscribe to ESPN Plus. You can watch USL League One there. You can watch the away matches. It's something that we've talked a lot about, Hot Fly watch parties, Charlotte FC watch parties, and it just so happens MLS season starts sooner than USL, so we haven't got to the fact that EPR is the home of the Charlotte Independents. If we're going to host a watch party, if we're going to be able to come here and watch the Independents, this is where we're doing it. So this is the home of Charlotte Independents in my mind. But it also is actually the home.
I was going to say figuratively and literally the home.
Yes. Elizabeth Parlor Room and the Charlotte Independents share an office here. It's Suite 120 here on Elizabeth Avenue. And you can see the Charlotte Independents has a nice brand logo sign here right on the street here on Elizabeth Avenue next to 1900, the Mexican grill and tequila bar. So it's a great place to hang out, and it's truly grassroots professional sports in Charlotte. So, Matt, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been great catching up with you about the Charlotte Independents, and I'm excited about the season. I'm also excited about, you know, you can go to Charlotte Douglas International Airport, you can fly to London, and you can do all those things. And there's a lot of soccer happening over there as well. So Matt's the co-host of the Full-Time Roundup podcast, and a really, really good podcast about European soccer. So I just wanted to talk to you about that as we close things out tonight, as far as what's on your radar. We watched some Champions League today. We're into the quarterfinals. The Premier League race is one of the best races in Premier League history.
Unbelievable
at this
race.
Point.
Unbelievable
you
race.
Know, Charlotte FC has started. The Independents are about to start. How are you imagining all this soccer here on Full-Time Roundup?
It's a lot. Luckily, I have a great co-host in Daniel Brackett, who, of course, helps out. We do a Thursday show and a Sunday show as our main feed, where we cover not only European, yes, that's our main focus, but we also do a little bit of MLS, some Liga MX. We kind of cover the globe as a whole for soccer. They also have Harrison Clark, who does our betting show with Daniel, and some other shows along the way. But we love talking soccer, and we get to do it, you know, twice a week with each other, and cover as much as we can. So we'd love for you guys to listen. And if you're a European soccer fan, we try and cover all the leagues as best we can. And of course, Premier League being one of the best races right now going on, it's exciting time for us. Chelsea notwithstanding, but of course, it's a fun time just to talk soccer. Obviously, I love talking it. Charlotte, local, global, wherever we can talk about soccer for me is a great time. So really appreciate, you know, getting a chance to talk with you. Of course, love you and Danny Brams. And you guys cover the team. I'm on the sideline usually with my camera. Get some fans, get your TIFOs, kind of showing off what they can do in the stands, and obviously what you guys do regularly on your regular show. So it's just a great opportunity, a great environment. And Charlotte's such a great soccer city, and you guys do such a great job of promoting that too.
My favorite part about the sport is that it's a bit of a rabbit hole. Is that once you get a little bit interested, you don't actually realize how deep that rabbit hole actually goes. So that's why I love to have you on the show, love to have Danny Brackett on the show as well. We love to join you guys, talk about European soccer, talk about global soccer, and then talk locally here, hyper-locally, about Charlotte FC and Charlotte Independents and Carolina Core. You can go on our YouTube page. You can learn about Carolina Core. And then on Sunday, don't forget, we're doing a pregame show for Crown Legacy. It's opening match. I'm still disappointed about Crown Legacy for what it's worth. I know this is the Charlotte Independents season preview show, but Crown Legacy finished first in MLS Next Pro last season. Opening match against Columbus Crew 2 at home and couldn't score a goal. So I think Crown Legacy is coming back with a vengeance in season 2 there. So there's just so much happening. So cheers to the TIFOs. Thanks for hanging out here. I appreciate everybody being here, our tremendous friends of the show. Make sure you stay tuned. If you're listening to this episode, it's on Thursday or Friday or Saturday morning before the match. Really appreciate that. But I try to make sure that this kind of conversation could last over the next couple weeks. You know, so whether you missed the first match or whether you're listening to this afterwards, the Charlotte Independents is going to be here many times throughout the spring and many times throughout the summer. One thing I love to do is a parting shot. So I'm going to ask you this: if you're thinking about this club, the Charlotte Independents, do you think that they win a trophy this season? It's a prediction. I'm not going to hold you to it, but it's a parting shot. You can say yes or no.
I don't know. Danny Bram says for the crown, we'll say up the Jacks, and they will definitely get a trophy this season.
I'm feeling it, bro. That's where I'm at with it too. Hey, I mean, like, why not think that this is the club that could bring a trophy back to Charlotte, and really make a name for itself as the big brother in town's up the road there in Uptown. So you heard it here first. Whether it's the U.S. Open Cup or whether it's USL League One, the Charlotte Independents, the campaign starts on Saturday night against One Knoxville. Make sure you go to charlotteindependents.com. You can grab those tickets there and keep following our feet. We're going to cover the Independents the entire season. But until next time,
up the Jacks.